Hello, everybody. Welcome, all you trapaholics out there. Guys like to hunt and fish and pretty much just don't fit in with civilized society all that well because you like going out in the woods, you like being a man, and you like thinking like a free individual. I welcome you to the rant of a free trapper. I'm going to talk about a subject today that's going to prove a point that the victim Olympics is live and well in America today. I got an email that I quite didn't know what to do, and then I remembered hearing of a podcast back, 4 or 5 months ago where this subject was brought up in a little bit different context, so I realized what was going on. But the victim Olympics is strong. Everybody wants to be a victim. Everybody wants to point everybody out to be an oppressor. But before we get into this email, I want to thank our sponsor, Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. Alan out in Iowa is a super honest guy. They have amazing customer service. You can get their stuff on Amazon, eBay, Bonanza, Walmart, plus their stores, and probably some ways I don't even know about. But anything you want, they have. They're also a member of the Fur Brigade, so you can get a 10% discount if you're a member of that. So I want to thank Alan and Funky Trap Tags and Supplies for supporting the rant of a free trapper. Okay, the email. I get some weird emails, guys. I mean, I get some weird stuff. Normally, it's that I'm a murdering bastard and that I have sex with my relatives and then, you know, I need to learn how to put on shoes. And I'm mean, and I'm nasty, and I'm Hitler, and I'm all this stuff because of all the content I've got out there on the internet. And it's mostly what we would consider antis. But me personally, a lot of the stuff that's very frustrating in the modern world, I don't really, on a personal level, on a day-to-day basis, have contact with a lot of, I don't have contact with a lot of people. But I'm pretty, I go to the lure shop, I go to the farm, I go trapping, I go hunting, I got friends, I see people at conventions, I go visit family, but it's not like I'm going to college universities and speaking or, you know, I just don't have a whole lot of contact with a lot of different people because I work and I'm always building that up and just being a social type person, which I've talked about before, is not really my thing. So I don't go out and do that. So, you know, I because of what I listen to, podcast, I hear all the stuff about, all of the virtue signaling and the snowflakes and the, you know, everybody's an oppressor and the hierarchy and everybody's racist and, hates gays and all this type. You hear that, but then all of a sudden you're looking at the computer screen with your name on it, and it kind of threw me back. And I've heard a similar question to this, also in permaculture and also towards people that their main hobby, I guess you could say, some of them have businesses, but they're really big into the wild food movement, which, you know, they hunt, they fish, they forage, they look for wild mushrooms. That's their thing, you know, kind of like trapping is our thing. That's their thing. I mean, you know, they're making their own flour out of acorns and they're doing all this type of stuff. It's kind of cool. I mean, you know, it's some definitely some good skill sets to know and to know what things are when you're out in the woods and different things. So that was a podcast that I was listening to, and I don't remember the name. And this question came up, which threw me for a loop, because it was completely irrational. But obviously, this has been a big thing in the wild food movement for a long time, where you get all of these college kids with no life experience, and professors that have taught them that everything in the world is about power, and everybody's either trying to oppress or not be oppressed by everybody else. And they believe that. So everything they see in the world, they put in this category. Privilege and oppression are the unfortunate and the downtrodden. And there's no middle ground there. There's no common sense there whatsoever. So this email I got was basically someone that found by someone sent them a link to one of my videos, and it was the one where I've got Daisy. It's I Love My Job on my YouTube channel. And it's just, showing a bunch of catches with some music and stuff like that. And it made them very upset. So they started doing research on me, which basically what that meant to me was they were going to try to find out some way to bring me into the modern day Salem witch trials that's going on everywhere around us today, which I'll probably talk about here in a few weeks. But they started doing research, and then they came across some of the stuff where I talked about survival and hunting and skinning hogs and this. So instead of just sending me the email where it's like, you're a no good murdering SOB, incest dwelling, barefooted, crapping in a bucket, Neanderthal that should be put down and all this type stuff, they tried to get a rise out of me in a certain way. And basically what the email said was, you're eating wild animals. So when you have the privilege to go out and have the time to hunt, how does that not prove that because you can do that and other people in the world can't, that's not showing your white privilege? Because if everybody in the world can't do what you're doing, obviously that is a privilege and it's not very fair to the rest of the world. And there was some other stuff in there, but that was basically the content of the thing. So I read it like 5 times, and I have to admit, it kind of, I've never considered hunting in America where anybody can go to Walmart, no matter what color you are, no matter what your sexual preference is, no matter what state you're in. As far as I know, you can hunt something in any state in America. How is that a privilege? And it's made me think. Well, it made me think back to this other podcast. So I want to look at just how people think today, and maybe a way that we can look at this in a little bit more rational sense. So is me eating wild food, beaver, deer, hogs, stuff like that, going to catch catfish, brim, stripers, when I go down and catch sharks in Florida, that's a big part of my life. But is that a privilege in the sense that it's meant in the modern day world? Like the white privilege, where it's harder for someone that's not white because you have this privilege or something. I don't know if it's a super handshake no one told me about, or checks that everybody else gets that I'm just not on the list. I'm not sure what the privilege is, but it's in that same context. Now, one of the premises in the email, which kind of threw me back a little bit just to think about, was, there's not enough wild food in the world for everybody to eat wild food. So that automatically means that I'm in a privileged status to do that. Now, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but I want to run through a little bit of logic with you on why that doesn't make sense. So, from thinking back on that other podcast, I replied to this person, because I guarantee you, and I'm making judgments here, this is probably somebody that's under the age of 30, that lives in an urban environment, that it probably is an anti, probably has a good heart, probably has almost like a empathy, almost addiction, where it's irrational, but there's so much empathy in everything that they see that they can't logically work through anything. So to them, if it's not enough to feed the world, what gives me the privilege to go out and do it? So what I wrote back was, because I kind of made a guesstimate of who was making a statement like that, because a poor person wouldn't. I said, there is not enough organic free-range vegetables, poultry, cows, and pigs to feed the world. So I guess by your logic, we should stop all organics and free range of meat for everybody. No organic food whatsoever, because it can't. There's not enough right now to feed the whole world. Now, I never got a response back to that. And if I remember correctly, that's kind of what that podcast, this guy started doing this back. Because to them, this was like a weekly occurrence. So he just copied and pasted, I guess, and put that in there. But see, what it did is it reversed someone's wanting to be in the victim Olympics and finding victims and just make a sport out of it, where they point fingers at everybody for virtue signaling. What it did is it turned that back on them, because probably the person writing something like that gets most of their food at Whole Foods, which to me does seem kind of privileged, because they have the money to do that and not everybody can. They're probably in college, which to me seems very privileged, no matter what the color of your skin is, if you look at it from the whole world's context. They live in a free society, which is definitely privileged, because that is definitely not the whole world. So I reversed it in a way that put the context back on them. So instead of them going, you are being mean because you're doing this and you're privileged and other people can't, I flipped it back on them. And you know, the way I feel about eating wild hog and deer and catfish and sharks and everything else, probably is the same way they feel about their whole food, organics, you know, fair trade crap that they're spending way too much money on. Never heard another word. This is where we are in the world, and it's the victim Olympics. Everybody's trying to find or be the biggest victim they can. I've also heard this in permaculture. Permaculture is a high-income, white privilege thing to do. And I've never really thought about it, because it's absurd. The concepts of permaculture come from ancient societies where people were just trying to survive and find a better way to do something. What permaculture did is basically put stuff together in a way that works better with less energy output than commercial agriculture does today. It's not I'm not even going to say it's a higher version of agriculture. It's a systematic way to look at agriculture. Where modern agriculture today, which I will say, if you're into farming, don't get mad at me, because I think you understand, even if you don't want to, how destructive it is. I truly believe one of the worst things that ever happened to mankind was real agriculture, the way that we see it today. It's destroyed so many societies in the past. It's destroyed so many landscapes in the past. Go look at the Middle East. Go look at what it used to look like. When you listen to how people describe the Middle East, it was dang near like Italy. Now it's what we see every day, and it's because of agriculture. It's very destructive. You know, it's just the way that it is, apparently. I mean, the way society evolution in our mindsets today, in our culture mindset today, that is how you feed people, is with big tractors. You go to a piece of property, you kill every single living thing on it, down to the soil bacteria. You plant a monocrop, and because that's so unnatural, you got to spray 10,000 different things on there. And then a lot of our agriculture, you do that just to take an animal off of its natural environment, which is pasture, and put it in a CAFO lot and feed it grain, which it's not supposed to eat. And it starts getting sick, but it does get fat. And then you kill it before it dies, because it's the fattest it can be before it gets so acidic that it falls over dead. And then you feed it to people as healthy meat. I don't have an affinity for the practice of modern agriculture. I'm just being totally honest. A chicken house to me is not good. I think it's shameful to do that to another living thing. And I'm a trapper. But is our style of agriculture a privilege? Like white man privilege? Western society privilege? I guess to a modern liberal, they could make anything that way, but I don't really see what it is, because there is changes happening in agriculture because of the market, where people don't want as many chemicals and hormones and growth hormones and GMOs and sugar put in everything and all this, that there are changes happening whether agriculture wants it to or not, because they're going to want to make money. So it's getting better. There's no doubt about that. People now know what free range is. That used to be a weird topic that only the craziest of the hippies would say. Now you got, in stores, even though most of them are lying, they find a way to be able to say free range, and they're not, because according to the USDA, if it's ever ate a bale of hay in sawgrass, you can call it free ranged. It's changing. And I think it's changing for the better. But is that privilege, what we can do in our country? I'm not so sure how to do that. Does modern agriculture feed the world? Only if you can say people don't starve to death. See, it's not really a food problem. It's a distribution problem. We generate more calories. Now, it's junk calories. It's calories that'll make you fat and give you heart disease and diabetes and Alzheimer's and produce autistic children. But we do produce enough calories to feed the world in Western society. But they don't get it, because of distribution and fraud and income and everything else. Is it a privilege? I don't know. But it's not really feeding the world either. But most people eat farm. That's everything you eat comes off a farm. One form, way or another. Your bread comes from a farm. Any meat comes from a farm nowadays. It's all from a farm. So the earth itself can definitely generate enough energy to feed the world at, 7.5 billion people, or 8 billion now? 9, I don't know. Really don't care. But, can it feed the world? If it can't feed the whole world, does that mean that we shouldn't do anything like wild food or permaculture or modern agriculture or organic farming or free range or just CAFOs for cows? And chicken houses for chickens. Because if it's not for the whole world, the view now is it's only for the privileged. See, that's very irrational. What it seems to me with a lot of this is a bunch of irrational victim Olympics. But the other thing is, people, whether they believe it or not, or understanding it or not, are being pushed towards globalism in a way that they're fighting for, even though they say local and sustainable all the time. Because if you got to have a system that works for everybody on planet Earth, one system, the only way that's going to work is globalization. But see, when you look back in history, different cultures had different values. Different cultures had different, almost unfair advantages over different cultures. In the early times, it was metal and fuel and stuff like that. But what someone like this, even though they say local all the time, I guarantee it, they want the local artist and the local food and the local farmers market and local this. What they're fighting for is globalism. What they really don't want is local solutions, because someone that's usually to that bent is either a quasi or hardcore socialist, or a theoretical or a real communist, which is big government, big control. Local solutions is not acceptable in either one of those ideologies. So when you hear people today that are like for Democrat socialism, which is becoming popular in the Democratic Party, and they also speak of localism, they're almost coming across to me as either super ignorant or they're psychopathical liars. Because you can't have the two. Local systems work. Plus, different people have different values about what it is they want to eat. There's a lot of people in the world that don't want to live off corn and soybeans. I'm one of them. There's a lot of different values people have towards different animals. Think of India. They won't eat a cow. The health benefits of that are the non-benefits is, you know, one of the shortest lifespans on the earth. Not because they're poor, because they're crazy deficient in things that meat like that gives them. They're vegetarians, and they're poor, so they can't do all the supplements. But they made a decision in their culture that that's what the way we want to be. I think that's perfectly fine. I think it's sad. But I think it's perfectly okay because it's their life and their culture. I am not going to speak for others. This is where we all get in trouble. The liberals are the greatest in the world for always speaking for the little man. But the thing is, they never talk to the little man. They don't want to be next to the little man. They don't want to rub shoulders with a little man. They don't want to live with a little man. But they know what's better for the little man. And then they go out and they try to force what they're saying by speaking for someone else. And they never get it right because they never ask the person what it is. I mean, just think about how crazy it would be if all the liberals decided that cows were what everybody should eat. They would have to go to India and try to change the religion of that country. Hindus are not going to eat meat. But the liberals would definitely speak for them about what the world should do by, you know, having, you know, slaughterhouses set up and free meat for everybody and the poor and do all that. They will speak for them. Just like they always speak for blacks and brown people and gays and everything else. They speak for other people. Guys, that's just wrong. See, to me, it's just as wrong when more of a conservative type person speaks for all conservatives. We're falling in the same trap they are. What we want, what's best for America, what's this? I'll be honest. I think America should be what it originally intended for, where you have individual states that are in their individual countries, where they have complete domain over their individual countries, or what we call states. And then they have an alliance with each other, which is where Washington, D.C. would come in. I think America would be better off. Let California do what California wants to do. Let Illinois and New York do what they want to do. Let Massachusetts tax their people to death and other states don't. You know, you can set the laws of the labor, you can set the laws of everything else. You can be more socialist, or you can be really on the hardcore freedom side, like Texas used to be. I think it'd be a lot better. I think it was smarter the way it originally was, but now we're just this one big glob, and you got people speaking for everybody else. It's just wrong. Don't speak for others. For goodness sake, don't do it. In today's world, what I'm always amazed at, people have opinions on something they know nothing about. And I'm just as guilty of this as everything else. You have opinions. It's most of the time a feeling. It's not based off logic or reason. You don't or you do like it. It's like everybody goes through life like they're looking at Instagram. Like. Yeah, I like that a lot. I'm going to make a comment here. And they go on. It's kind of like just, I've got an opinion on every single thing in the world. It's crazy because it's kind of like me trying to have an opinion on people that live in New York City. Just as it's crazy for them to have an opinion on how we live in Tennessee. They have no idea what it's like about living in Tennessee, and I really don't have a realistic idea what it's like to live in New York City. But I, you know, I got opinions on it. Don't want to be there. Don't like it. Yada, yada, yada. People seem really rude most of the time. You know, it's super expensive. They're overtaxed. They got too many regulations. All of this stuff about New York, I'm just guilty of myself. I really don't know what it's like to live in New York City. I have a better idea what it's like to live in upstate New York, minus some of the craziness that goes on in New York. But everybody has this opinion of everything, and they don't think about it, and they don't do it. That's why antis have the opinions they have of trappers. They have no idea what a trapper does, thinks, acts, feels, how he lives, what the process is. They don't have anything. It's just like Instagram. I don't like that. And I can prove to you that people do not have brains for their self. I can prove it without a shadow of a doubt that people in society do not know how to think for themselves. When I was growing up, do you know what was popular in houses? Popcorn on the ceiling, little spattles of sheetrock, and you paint over it. I think it kind of started because it's hard to have a perfectly level ceiling, so that kind of hides imperfections. Nobody thought about what pattern was on the ceiling when you bought a house. Nobody. None. In the last 10 years, if you watch one of these house shows, you would think that everybody that walks into any house that has popcorn on the ceiling looks up and they go, it looks terrible. We gotta change it. We really can't afford this house, and we're gonna be broke forever because we're buying too much of a house. But we're gonna go further in debt because that popcorn is so nasty on the ceiling. It's kind of like an orangutan threw shit up there and running around, and it's dripping down on us. It's just gross. I have yet to see a single person on a house show, because my wife watches a lot of them, that doesn't care that there's popcorn on the ceiling. It's a short-term cultural stance. That's what it is. But the whole country believes it. Does it matter if it's up there? Do you ever notice it after a couple of days anyway? I don't. We got popcorn on our ceiling. Never even think about it. Now, another thing that I'll show you how short-term cultural values switch, and people don't realize that they are not thinking as individuals, but as groups. What was the latest thing that everybody had to have in a kitchen 5-6 years ago? Stainless steel appliances. If it was white, black, avocado green, yellow, whatever it was, look at the orangutan crap on our stove. We got to get rid of that. So what do? They throw that one in the dumpster. They sell it for nothing on Craigslist. And they run down to Lowe's and they buy a stainless steel refrigerator and stove and microwave and dishwasher, because it all has to match. But every single show was showing how people don't think as individuals. And everybody had to have stainless steel. If you're going to flip a house, you got to have stainless steel. If you're going to sell a house, you got to have stainless steel. Because no one wants anything but stainless steel. And customers, after hearing that enough, they would be the oddball in the group, and they had to have stainless steel. Today, oh no. It's switching. It went from wood cabinets and dark granite and stainless steel to now white cabinets. Which, think of all the hundreds of thousands of cabinets that'll have to be changed. All of the countertops that used to be dark that everybody loved, now it's got to be light granite or something like that. And the stainless steel is going out of vogue and going into white. So your refrigerators are starting to be white, and your stoves are white, and your microwaves are white, and this. But it's not just, you can go to anybody on the street on the popcorn ceiling, and it's orangutan crap on my ceiling. I got to get rid of it. Or you can talk to him about stainless steel, and right now it's about a 50-50. I want wood cabinets and stainless steel, or I want white on white on white. And it's cultural. Groupthink. And if someone doesn't talk about the popcorn on the ceiling, or the stainless steel, or the new white, or the privilege of someone that gets to go hunt deer, which anybody can go do, where can the virtue signaling come in? Every time you hear something, I want you to think about things in three terms. This will really separate life for you and what you should be upset about and what you shouldn't be upset about. You have a biological culture, you have a short-term historical culture, and you have a historical culture. Everything pretty much falls in those three groups. Biological culture. Women breastfeed. That's the way it's been for millennia because it's healthy for the baby. They're smarter, they grow better, they're healthier, autism is lower. All this stuff happens when you do the biological culture of that species. Biological culture of a cow is it eats grass. Biological culture of a duck is it eats insects mostly. That's a biological thing. Biological culture. I want you to keep that one in mind because we're talking about privilege. We have short-term culture, popcorn ceiling, stainless steel, the everybody's being oppressed, all this stuff that you're seeing, very short-term. It switches like the wind, but people treat it like it's super serious. Bell bottoms turned into when I was a kid, where everybody wanted to be like, what's the dude from Urban Cowboy? You know, where you dressed in the silk cowboy looking shirts and the tight blue jeans. You want to look like a cowboy and have the hat on. You ain't never seen a cow in your life. And then Smokey the Bandit came out and that got stronger. And then, you know, that was cultural. Then we flipped over to the preppy. Then we flipped over to Madonna and the big hair movements and all that of the 80s. And then it went into, you don't want to look like that, so you want to look like you're poor, basically, is what young people want to do today. And you had the grunge movement, and everybody hates everybody, and everybody's sad, and yada, yada, yada. Those are short-term cultural things. Long-term cultural. Individual is more important than the group. See, that's an American long-term cultural value. Private property. That is an American cultural value. The right to defend yourself. That is a cultural value in America. You don't get to go hurt people because of religious reasons. That is a cultural value in America. Those are serious. They're there for a reason. That's ingrained in most Americans. Now, whether you get popcorn on your ceiling or not, it's completely irrelevant in any type of long-term view. Take away property rights and the right to defend yourself, and it's okay to hurt people because of religious views. Yeah, you're living with the Taliban at that point, or a communist or socialist country. And it gets really ugly. That's important to keep in mind. When you hear anybody talk about problems, is it a biological problem? Is it a short-term cultural problem? Or is it a historical culture thing? Because I'm going to bring this up into a way that you can start looking at this privilege thing in a way that'll kind of let everything fall into place. I've got a question for you. Are cows privileged? Doesn't matter what color the cow is. None of them's gay, so you can't bring that in there. But is a cow privileged? Think about that a second. We're going to have the story of two cows. And this is kind of what's so screwed up in America today. You've got a story of two cows. You got one cow that lives on Joe Salatin's farm. And if you don't know what that is, look it up on YouTube. Grass-fed, pasture-raised, very happy, very well taken care of cows. I mean happy cows. If I was a cow, even though I'm going to get slaughtered, I want to go to Joe Salatin's place. or Mark Shepard, or some of the other people out there that are doing it right. And then you've got another cow. And he goes to a, he starts in someone's field, and he spends the last part of his life at a CAFO, which is just where you take a bunch of cows, you stick them together, let them stand in crap all day, and feed them something they're not supposed to eat. And you get them as fat as they can, then you kill them right before they die. Now, the happy happy cow that lives on the grass and sunshine and is out in nature with fresh air is very different from the cow that gets put in a CAFO operation where they're living in their own crap and eating something they're not supposed to, and they're being made sick on purpose so they can get a little fatter. See, that's two different worlds right there. Is the grass-fed cow privileged? Is that cow oppressing the cow that's in the CAFO operation? No. It's silly. I came from a very poor white background in Alabama. My privilege in life is I watched my mom hustle. She taught me to think like an entrepreneur through her actions. Is that a privilege of mine over someone's parents that did not teach them that? Is it a privilege for the grass-fed cow over the CAFO cow that's got a miserable freaking existence? No, it's not. See, when you take the human aspect out of this, it's silly. The grass-fed cow is fortunate because he has a better life. He didn't do anything to be picked to go to Joe Salatin's farm. But the CAFO cow is in a, basically, I mean, I don't know how you say this, but almost like a prison type environment, being miserable. Now, he didn't do anything. He didn't commit a crime to go there. He's unfortunate. You have fortunate and you have unfortunate. Fortunate does not equal privilege. That cow is not privileged because he goes to Joe Salatin. He's fortunate. It's unfortunate for cows that get sent to CAFO operations. Very unfortunate. But it's not an oppression by the other cow. That's just the way that it is. See, another thing about, is it a privilege? And the reason I think it's based more on socialism and globalism, is it a privilege for me to go eat wild meat when other people in the country don't, or other people in the world don't, or I live in a place that has more game than others, or it can't feed the whole world? Is that a privilege? Now see, that's insane when you think about it. 200 years ago, the privileged people were on farms. The unfortunate savages around the world that weren't part of society had a hunter-gatherer lifestyle. Because they had to eat, but they weren't part of farming. They weren't in society where their job was really to pay taxes. They were the unfortunate. So the children of the farmers that had children that all of a sudden could get all the bread they wanted and the milk and everything else, were they fortunate or were they privileged? Was the hunter-gatherer that runs around and hunts and traps and fishes and forages, were they unfortunate and being oppressed? No. They had different cultural values. And to say different just shows how irrational a person would be. Because all of a sudden today, when farming feeds the world, if someone chooses not to be in that system, which is against groupthink, they're now the privileged. So the most poor and the ones that people had to civilize, and the savages out there, they had to go out and live off the land. They're so unfortunate. Now they're the fortunate. What's changed? Biologically, what has changed? Biologically, nothing. The hunter and the forager is always going to be way healthier, stronger, not have all the crazy diseases we have. May get, you know, run over by a boar and break his leg and die from infection, but he's not dying from all the stuff that the farmer has. From a biological point of view, it's the same as saying someone that goes, hunts, and fishes today, because there's a different option that the whole world needs to be able to be involved in, is like saying a woman that breastfeeds is being oppressive to a woman that doesn't. Because what we need in the world is people to quit looking at things from a socialist point of view or a communist point of view, and definitely like a globalist point of view. Where I live in my valley, we have very little agriculture. We could feed our own people if we wanted to. All on grass, best vegetables, we have a good climate, we have plenty of rain, especially the last couple of days. We could take care of ourselves. It's very different in Arizona. That may be more of a serious meeting society, because they're going to have sheep and goats and cows and stuff, because growing a garden in a desert is pretty tough. Or it could be someone in the tropics where they live more off of fish and shellfish and fruit. The whole world? Because the whole world can't eat like the tropics, does that make them privileged? What about a coastal town that has all the access to the seafood? Does that make them privileged over somebody like me that has big gardens and hunts and still goes to the grocery store? Does that mean they're more privileged than me? See, it's all silly. I'm getting really sick of it. But it's not going to change for a couple of more years. So if you're getting sick of this just like I am, always put stuff in perspective. Biologically, is it culture biological? Is it short-term culture? Is it historical culture? And when someone tries to screw with short-term culture, it really doesn't matter. When they try to screw with long-term culture, like property rights and pursuit of happiness, and all men are created equal, yeah, you got to stand up for that. If it's biological, that's just the way it is. Don't let someone change the biological, because that's what's happened with breastfeeding. That's why you got all these sick babies everywhere. Because it's shown from studies that a lot of black women will not breastfeed because to them they think it makes them look poor. The biological culture of that is that's a bad move for a mom. Just think about this as you hear throughout the week. When you hear people talk about problems, put things in different perspective. Change out people with animals, or one person with another, or one concept with another. Change the words around. And most time what you'll find out, what everybody gets upset today, is nothingness. Bullcrap. And once you start understanding that, you can kind of shake your head and go, what a goofball for thinking that way, and I ain't getting involved. I'm completely out of this. And once you start thinking like that, I promise you, you will be a happier person. Because if you get caught up in all this stuff all the time, especially with the internet, you're going to be miserable. Miserable. I'm not getting in Facebook fights and Twitter fights and Instagram fights and you know, getting online. And if I find someone that disagrees with me, I've got to, you know, try to figure out some way to destroy them. I let other people do that. If other people want to be that miserable, that's their pursuit of happiness, as far as I'm concerned, let them be miserable. I want to have a rational enough in a logical enough way to look at the world around me where I'm not part of that. And I suggest you start looking at the world the same way. You're just a more stable person when you kind of see what's going on around you, and you can just go, it's going to change. we've got about two and a half, three, maybe 4 years of the witch trials we're going through now, which we'll cover on a different rant. And then we're going to kick back over to when I have fond memories of the 80s, where individualists matter. It's going to change. It's not going to be the end of the world that everybody talks about. It's not going to be, even if the Democratic Socialist Party takes over in America, once the pendulum swing switches back from group to individual, they're going to lose power. All societies do it. It's been going on since Moses. It's going to change. It's not easy to live through. And in about 40 years, we're going to be right back in the same place we are today. It almost seems like the crap we're going through today is somehow almost a combination of historical and biological pendulum swing in human pattern. Going from group to from community and group, and how that gets crazy with all the social justice to what it's going to be when we're back where the individual matters. Just bite your lip, do what you need to do, be happy for goodness sake. If you're always mad because of the news, quit listening to it.